you a little juiced up or a little more directed in how to find passion in your life and how to live with it day in and day out. And we're going through Peter Hirsch's book, which is the title of the book is Living with Passion. He discloses 10 simple secrets that guarantee your success. And we're on chapter 5 now, which has to do with attitude. And the first quote I put on the outline is really, the fact facing us is not as important as an attitude toward it, for that determines our success or failure. Norman Vincent Peale. And that is so true. You know, there's a great quote out there, I know I've used it numbers of times, that a person's character is not determined by what events he has in his life, but truly by how he responds to it. And that's really a statement of who we are. So if you ever want to see somebody and what their real character is made of, you don't need to see them when they're winning the race or they're on stage in a leadership seminar. What you need to do is you need to see them when some dramatic trauma hits their life. How are they responding to the negative things that hit? Because all of us in life are going to experience negative things. Bad things happen to good people, and that's a known fact. And so it's about how do we respond to those negative things, and that truly shows the character of a person. So, and that has to do with what? It has to do with our attitudes. How are we managing our attitudes? Now, some people, you know, one of the things that right out of this chapter, I just want to isolate to you. A lot of people speak about, and I know Jet's a big one on this, he says attitude is everything. And I'm not disagreeing that attitude isn't a major part of whether you are successful or not in life, and high achievers have great attitudes, and I believe in all that. But I also believe that it's not, where does your attitude come from? Your attitudes come from our belief system, our core belief system. So it goes a little deeper than just what our attitude is what formulates that attitude. And I think putting the emphasis on just attitude tends to keep it at a more of a superficial level. So it's how do we improve that attitude? What do we have to work on to make sure our attitude is appropriate? That's the way you need to look at it. Because if you just keep working on attitude all the time, I don't think you get to the core of what's going to help really shift you and change you for life versus just momentarily. It's kind of like, do you want to do motivational work or do you want to do core value analysis work? You know, where do I want to go with this? So, but attitude is absolutely crucial, and I do agree that if you don't master your attitude, you're not going to master your life, because attitude plays such a gigantic role in everything that we do. Peter Hirsch tends to suggest that even when you're out there marketing, let's take our network marketing with Manatech, before anyone ever decides to sign up as an associate, that you've got to sell them on your attitude. It's your attitude that they have to buy into first. So if you come to them with bad attitude or negativity or sarcasm or all these things that we can see in our lives from time to time, you know, that kind of attitude is not going to reflect very highly on Manatech, nor will it cause them to move forward. To buy into your attitude. So if you want to, you know, turn somebody on to this is the greatest business opportunity of the century, then you've got to believe it. You've got to have at the core beingness of what you believe in, and it's going to come through in your attitude about it. You can share that, and you can really talk to people about it and really be, and this is one of the problems some of you have. You go, Mary Jo, how do I share the business when I'm making $100 a month? And I always talk about a business opportunity isn't just about what the result is for you. It's about viewing what is this business opportunity. Do you believe that people can make it in this? Do you believe it's doable? Don't evaluate the business opportunity based on what you have or haven't done with it, but believe in it based on the people around you who you've seen become successful. Here we just talked about Jet's team last night on a telephone call, and some of these people won the trip in 7 days. I don't think there's a person on this phone call today that couldn't win the trip in 7 days. Some of you don't believe in yourselves, but I believe in you. And what the problem is that you don't believe in yourself. It's a belief system. It's not that you can or can't do it. It's what your belief system is around it. It's what is my core belief in it, and because that's going to form the attitude. If you say, I believe I can win this trip in 7 days, your attitude shift is going to be incredible, and you're going to make things happen, and mechanisms are going to appear out of nowhere to create the result that you've chosen to create. But the belief system's got to be there. You got to take it on as I believe that we can do it. So, but again, just like in Manatech, you all can be successful at it, and selling the business and marketing the business is not dependent on what your results are. It's based on your belief system around, is it a great business? I believe it's a terrific business. I see people making massive residual income. I see people making phenomenal changes in people's lives. I see people like growing businesses for their kids that they've never had. I've seen them pay college tuition they never could have paid, or getting their kids spending money or whatever they're trying to achieve with it. It's incredible what this opportunity offers for people. So it's a matter of stepping into it and truly believing in it and making it happen. So the quality, he talks about the quality and effectiveness of all of our communication is a matter of attitude. And we kind of understand that concept. It's a different way of stating it. But how many of you heard the concept that, you know, when you're communicating with somebody, 80% of your communication, sometimes I even hear people use the word 90%, and it's statistical by a survey, a study that's been done. But it's like 80 or 90% of what the person gets from you is not from what you say. It's from your attitude, your mannerisms, how you portray yourself. You know, what your tone of voice is. All the other considerations play a much greater role in leading them to make a commitment than does the words that actually come out of your mouth. And that's exactly what this is saying, and just in a different way. It's saying the quality and effectiveness of all your communication is a matter of attitude. So if you have a terrific attitude and you're in love with what you're doing, you have a passion about it, you're going to be able to really move people in a significant way. If you don't, it's going to be very hard because they read your lack of passion, your lack of energy around it. And if with that lack, you're not going to be very effective with it. So you got to work on, how do I improve that attitude? How do I pick it up? How do I make that ad? How do I portray this passion that I have around the product that I'm marketing? The attitude you have, and I think this is what gets into a lot of people too that get into selling multiple things. Like, I have people that want to join other network marketing companies, then they'll join one and they come up with all sorts of rationales around, well, if I join this one while I'm doing Manatech, I can use those leads to help build my Manatech business. I'm going to tell you people that never works. It never works. They eventually get out of Manatech, or they eventually get out of the other one, but they've wasted another year or two of their lives off on a bunny trail. So it's because the problem is about attitude. How can you go out there and be passionate about makeup and be passionate about nutritional supplements? I mean, it's like, you know, find a passion and run with it and be true to yourself around who you are. Are you a healer or are you a makeup artist? I don't know which one you want to do, but choose one to really be prolific with and really get your attitudes focused on that one, on the oneness of it, because that's what's going to help you be so successful in the one. Diverting yourself and playing off of two. I even have some people that are in three or four different network marketing companies. They do prepaid legal, they do paintings, they do, you know, makeup, they do man. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, how does a person that you approach ever, if you don't like this, so let me open my jacket and see what else I have in my, you know, my wares. Well, again, how can the attitude of passion, how can you be passionate about 20 different things? Very hard. Your real passion is, how do I sell somebody something, instead of how do I make a difference in their lives? Because all I'm trying to do is find something they'll bite on. You know, it's, if I hang enough fish out there, they'll bite. So be careful on that. And there's somebody on the phone today that are doing multiple network marketing. Your choice. It's just what I've experienced in, you know, all my years is that it doesn't work. And I've never been very supportive of people jumping on new bandwagons, because I think it really sacrifice your part of your passion of who you are and what your real purpose is when you start diverting your attention on different things. The attitude you have around other people is the greatest influence on their thoughts and feelings. So when you're associating with other people, that's what allows them to step into a greater area of love or enthusiasm or passion themselves based on your attitude. So you can actually help control other people's thoughts and feelings by what your attitude. And you know that just by experiencing other people in your life. You can look around and you can say, oh, wow, I was around this person. They were very depressed, and boy, did it take me down. And that happens because your environment influences you so much in so many ways. And so you have to be careful about association, who you associate with. And that's why one of the things John K. Lynch says in his book, Being the Best You Can Be in MLM, is that one of your fuels for growth in this business is surrounding yourself with a great environment. He says, if you want to fly with the eagles, then don't gaggle with the turkeys. You know, you got to surround yourself with the eagles. You got to surround yourself with people that are powerful, people that are moving forward. Don't be intimidated by them. Don't get jealous for them. Love them, honor them, respect them, want to be around them so that they can help influence you into taking a better look at your own life and moving forward and overcoming some of the things holding you back. Because that's what people, strong people, are for. They're there for us to tap into, to help grow and learn from, not to be intimidated by or not to second guess. They're successful, so look at what they're doing, and our attitudes, their attitudes, they're one of the reasons we want to be around them, because they're positive and they're up. And same thing with you, when you're around positive and up people. In fact, there are probably a lot of people on this Monday call. One of the reasons they get on Mary Jo's Monday call is because they love the juice that comes from that Monday call. They get them going for the week. There's an excitement and enthusiasm and passion around it that helps you get moving, and that's exactly what this statement is about. The attitude you have around other people is the greatest influence on their thoughts and feelings. And the final part of that first part of the outline is, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And Peter even cites that same. It's one of my favorite statements, because I think they're two critical principles to network marketing, and this is one of them. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And his statement around that is, it's totally about attitude. You know, are you giving them an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of care, an attitude of love? You know, are you really being with that person when you're sharing with them? And that's what's going to show how much you care. And I always tell people, the number one way to show anyone how much you care is one thing, and that's being a great listener. So I really harp on great listening skills. And by the way, people, I'm putting together a listening course. So I'm excited about that. I'll probably post it on Manatrain, and hopefully by this summer it'll be in place so you can actually take it. It looks like it'll be about a 5 or 6 session listening course, how to become a better listener. And I just, because I really feel that's one of the greatest things that we're lacking in our society. I wish they'd teach it in third grade or something. Give it to us early in our life. Because, and the reason I'm so sensitive to the issue is that I grew up with a mother that was just a horrific listener. In fact, this past weekend, I spent the weekend with my sister. She was in town here in Dallas staying with us for 3 days. And we talked about Mom a lot. And it was, you know, and she, I, you know, we, of course, both loved our parents incredibly. But my mother was just a horrific. I mean, if there's one thing that kept coming up each time and time again in our conversations, it was how terrible a listener she was. She always wanted to control the talk and always control the agenda. And she, you could be talking to her and she'd just start a new topic out of nowhere, not even acknowledge that you were even talking. Oh, it was. And of course, when you grow up in that environment, just like you can have a positive influence around people, you can also negatively influence them. So I grew up with terrible listening skills, and I had to do a lot to overcome them and still work on them every day. So I have a real heart and passion in that area. So it's just great that that's how we show we care, and that's it presents our attitude of caringness, which is what makes such a difference in people's life. How do you master your attitude? Because some of you are going, great, Mary Jo, I get it, that attitude's really important, but, you know, geez, how do I shape mine up? Because look at my circumstances, and I'm like, oh my gosh, circumstances. There's always somebody who has 10,000 times worse circumstances than you have, so don't ever wallow in circumstances. You can't let that control your life. The concept of mastering your attitude, thank goodness, is a skill, which means it can be learned. That means there is hope for all of us, okay? It's a learned skill. It is learned. So look at it that way. Just don't say, hey, I was raised with a bad attitude and I'm always going to have one. No, this is a skill. It's a set of skills you develop, you learn from. Your success, get into your head real quickly, that your success is one of the greatest gifts that you can give to others. And success can mean different things for you. It can mean my success in my spiritual walk, my success in my relationship with people. It's not just about abundance in terms of financial. It's about your success in life, in whatever that is. That's the greatest gift you have to share with others. Because so many of you have heard the phraseology, when you laugh, the world laughs with you. And this is the same thing. When you succeed, the whole world succeeds with you. Success breeds success. Does that make sense to all of you? It's really a crucial principle to get in your head, that success breeds success. That's why you see these people that are successful in Manatech and they get to bronze and silver and gold presidential, because what they're doing is they're growing people underneath them. They're building leaders. Success breeds success. They're bringing people along in a successful pattern. But when you simply try, as Peter Hirsch says, when you succeed, the whole world succeeds with you. When you simply try, you try alone. And that's a real abrupt kind of realization. And of course, for a lot of you who've been on my calls before, you know that try isn't even a word in my vocabulary. I always tell people, get rid of that word out of your vocabulary. It's just an excuse not to accomplish something. And if you don't believe that, just right now, everybody stand up and now try to sit back down in that chair. And it's hilarious. You sit there and you just laugh at yourself because you can't try to either sit in the chair or you don't sit in the chair. And it's really either do it or you don't do it. Trying to win the Alaska trip, either do it or you don't do it. You set the intent to make it happen and it happens. The guy who chose to make it happen, he did it in 7 days. Boom. He set the intent. He didn't try to win the Alaska trip, he won it. You put things out there as statements of what you're going to achieve, not try. Because try just opens the door for the 100 rationalizations of why it didn't work. So quit trying and just make things happen. It's kind of like one of my favorite sayings that comes from one of our athletic companies, Nike, and it says, just do it. I love that saying because what it says is quit using the try. Just do it. So today, in mastering your attitude, what you can do is start building that film. And I put it in quotes because it's really a film you make up. It's like having a film, a repetitive process that you can play through your brain about your great success. Focus and concentrate on your great success. And again, that's family, that's financial, that's manatech, that's spiritual success in all aspects of your life. Build that picture and play that film in your head. And it could be things you've already accomplished in life because every one of us have lots of wins. We have lots of wins. Every day we can sit back and look at what were my wins from yesterday? And you can make a laundry list of things that you accomplished that were wins for you. And you need to focus on those. Those are positives. Keep your attitude positive. Focus on wins. Build that success film. And then you can create a success film if you around Manatech. If you haven't been real successful in Manatech as of yet, build the film. What does it look like to you? It could be based on the goals that you set in my pathway class or goals that you've set outside the path. Whatever you've written down, build that film. Start looking at yourself. A lot of people get to presidential, they visualize themselves on stage. One of the presidentials underneath me, Marlis Wickstrom, is dynamic. We sat down in March 1 year and I said, okay, Marlis, we're going to make this happen. And we put together goals and she made a dream board and she just visualized it. A year later, she's walking across stage at Manifest as a new presidential. She even carried her dream board across that stage because she was so proud of what she visualized that it came true. She says, man, if I can do this, people, all of you can do it. It's just visualizing it. And that's what this film is. It's about visualization. It's putting into your head and running that film and living that success. That's a way of mastering your attitude. It's displacing the negativity and putting the positive nature around it. And I put a couple comments down here for those of you who are a little spiritually guided and through, reading whatever scriptural materials that you read. Of course, mine is the Bible, so I end up looking at God's Word. And he says in there, he says, we're all made in His image and His likeness, so how could we ever possibly accept mediocrity? And he also tells us that anything is possible through Him, so how can we play life so small? If anything is possible through Him, how can we play life so small? All of these are principles that I really develop in that abundance, how to experience the covenant of abundance, God's covenant of abundance in your life. That's a beautiful piece that I put together, and it's just, this is what it's about. Quit playing small, quit playing mediocre. Life is right there for you, the grasping. It's just a matter of stepping into it and having the right attitude around it. And scripturally, there's plenty of scripture that can support you in attitude, that's for sure. And of course, it all gets back to the whole thing, as a man thinketh, so is he. So your attitude comes from your thoughts. So you better create the thoughts that are positive and uplifting and move you forward. How do you maintain an empowering attitude? Because some of you say, well, Mary Jo, it's easy for me. I can build that picture, but how do I keep it? How do I grab onto it? How do I not drift and wallow in the misery? How do I not allow myself to drift off and go in different directions? Because different things happen. And I love he comes up with three questions to ask, and I think you all should just learn these three questions and start using them in your life, because when I started looking at them, it was so funny because it's really how I think. And I sometimes when I read these books, I go, and in fact, Lydia is so funny. She always says to me, she goes, Mary Jo, I think you wrote this one, because she sees how I live my life, and then she has me read a book or she reads a book and she goes, it sounds like Mary Jo lecturing to me again, about different things in her life. And it really is choices that we make on how we respond to things in our life and how we live our life every day. And the three questions that he wrote in his chapter on in helping us to maintain an empowering attitude instead of a disempowering attitude or a negative attitude. He says, always ask questions, and the right kind of questions, questions that determine focus and direct your actions. So look at the questions you're asking yourself. And one of the first question, he says, what is great about this? Now, some of you can look at that question and go, well, what do you mean, what is great about this? It's the concept of walking into a meeting. Let's say you schedule a meeting, and the person committed to having 50 people at this presentation you're going to do, and you walk in and only 7 people showed up. Now, some of you would get angry, you'd talk to your downline, and you might get upset with them and say, hi, you committed to 50, I made this whole trip, I flew out here, I'm paying for a hotel, and I'm getting 7 people, and you start getting it. Now, that is so wrong. It's putting you in the total wrong direction, and what's it going to create in terms of that opportunity meeting? It's going to create a disaster for the opportunity meeting, too. So instead of going on the negative of what didn't happen, and you can always deal with accountability on a different level, but it shouldn't be impacting you. It shouldn't be impacting your attitude, and you're allowing that to happen when you start going into the negativity about what it could have been versus what it was, and could have, should have. Oh, I don't, those words don't even exist in my vocabulary. The could have, should haves are, they don't exist. When I walk into a meeting and there's 7 people there and there should have been 50 people because somebody said that they were going to get 50 people, I look at those 7 people and I go, thank you, Lord. What an opportunity for me to impact these 7 people's lives. And I even have, even last week when I went to see the chiropractor out in Napa Valley and do a presentation for his patient base, he came up to me before we started. He goes, Mary Jo, I really thought we'd have about 45, 50 people. I know there are only like 22 here. I looked at Dr. Eat. I said, Dr. Eat, I said, I always look at every one of these meetings from this perspective. Whoever's here is who God wanted to be here. And I'm standing in front of here with these people with a phenomenal opportunity to touch their lives in a significant way. Now, why would I ever have any negative thoughts about the opportunity that's presented to me? And that's how I just look at life every time I do it. So it's like, what is great about this? What is great about this meeting is what an incredible opportunity I have to touch these people's lives. And I move forward. And some of you on this call, I guarantee you, because some of you have been out in the field with me, even especially in the early stages where, I used to go to meetings where there might be 1 or 2 people. And some of you are going, oh, Mary Jo, I can't believe you do that. And I said, you better believe it. I don't care if there are 2 people that show up in my meeting. I mean, I care today. I hope and pray that there's more than 2 because I travel a lot and I really, like to have as much impact as possible. But I still give the same meeting. And some of the people in my downline, let's say, Mary Jo, you're just as good in front of 2 as you are in 200. He says, you have just as much passion and flair. And I said, that's because that's how I look at each and every one of these opportunity meetings. It's about the people that came. It's not about how many. It's not a count. It's not a negative. So what is great about this? Start focusing on what's great about what happens in your life. And you can look at it from a perspective of negative things, other things too, because you can say, okay, Mary Jo, this is great about Manatech, but what about terrible things that happen in our lives? Well, trust me, people, some of you need to get a little spiritual about some of this, because sometimes it's hard for us to do it on our own. Absolutely. We need some intervention in our lives. And I'll share with you, my experience around my brother's death was unbelievably harrowing for me. When your brother, and some of you know the story, but when my brother got shot and killed by his wife, had 2 beautiful teenagers. Now, if you can sit back and say, what is great about this? And you can really figure that out after that kind of experience, now you're getting it. Now you're getting what this is about. Because what's great about it is there is lots of stuff that was great about it. And as badly as I miss my brother today, I can still look at there was greatness around that. But one of my reasons I can find greatness around it too is because of my depth of my spirituality. Because in all things is good. So you have to start focusing on the good. Focus on what is the goodness around it. Focus on the greatness of me being able to take a 14 and 16-year-old into my house and raise these kids and have the most awesome relationship with 2 beautiful children and being able to impact their lives to hopefully give them a life of meaning and direction and promise when they had this incredibly terrible thing happen in their lives that you and I couldn't even fathom, couldn't even begin to understand what that would be like to lose both parents at 14 years old in that kind of direction. So we sit there and we have to say, what is great about this? And that's where our focus needs to be. Because nothing would have been worse in the world than for me to walk away from that experience and be down and out and depressed for 6 months, 2 years, around two beautiful children who needed to be able to put this behind them, learn from it, put it behind them, and move forward in their lives. And that's what was most important. It wasn't my feelings, it was them being an impact on their lives. So you can do it in any instance, in any event. What is great about this? And focus on the greatness of things that happen in your life, no matter how negative they look on the outside. And really, your focus totally shifts. Your direction, your activities, what you take on to do, you know, your whole role in an event changes dramatically if you just focus on what is great. The second question he says is, what can I learn from this? Because another thing, you're either growing or you're decaying. We're only in two different states. We're either living or we're dying. So the concept is make a true commitment in your life to lifelong learning. And that's another thing that I'm so absolutely convicted on. I love reading books all the time. When I go on trips, I always got a book on the airplane because I want to read some more and materials, Network Marketing Times. I love to read that stuff when it comes through. I love to absorb because there's always something new for me to learn, to grow and develop and learn. It's always about growing. It's about green and growing. Stay in the green and growing. When I had my sister here, she's a year older than I am, and I'll tell you, we are opposite as day and night. In fact, Lydia just says, there's no way you came from the same seed. She's so funny. And if you met my sister, you'd probably say the same thing. I mean, she's got 18 different ailments. She's on $1,400 a month of prescription drugs. She can hardly function. She's like, she suffers from situational depression, as she calls it. I just kind of say, oh boy, let's talk about that. So, I mean, I'm working with her. In fact, a lot of the material from this book I'm using with her because I'm trying to develop, and she's right now going through a horrific time of her life with a divorce, 22-year marriage coming to an end. And, of course, that doesn't help any of the other things that were already happening in her life. But a lot of the things that were happening in her life triggered the problem in her marriage. I mean, when you sink into depths and you allow the attitude of your life to sink, you're going to create other problems elsewhere in your life. So I'm trying to rebuild that structure, and it's about learning from what is happening. And I use those same tools. What's great about this? And I focus with her on what is great about this divorce. And some of you are going, 22 years of marriage, what's great about the divorce? So we start talking about what's great about it. You know, and there's greatness in it. And she's starting to see that, and she's starting to live with that. And we talk about, what can I learn from this? And one of the things my sister's learning from it is she's learning, you know what? I can't focus on my illnesses. I can't focus on what's going wrong in my body. The focus and concentration. And one of her problems, too, is that she's working with a psychotherapist that keeps driving her about, oh, you need to be angry at him, and you need to do... And I go, what do you do? Why do you listen to this woman? I just get so frustrated with some of the direction some of these people give people. It drives me crazy. It's like, why would you ever tell somebody to be angry? I don't want people to be angry. Angry is a negative emotion. Don't be angry. Don't let other people control your emotions, and don't let people send you down an emotional path that you don't even want to go. Be positive. So we're actually working with our psychotherapist to say, you know what? I don't want you to focus on it. I want you to focus on future. I want you to focus on future with my sister about how beautiful, and she's in control of her future, and she's independent. She doesn't need to be dependent on this man anymore in her life. She needs to be independent. She needs to go out and find a passion in her life and try to drive that. And it's just a total shift that we need to make. What can I learn from this? What do I learn from it? We learn from every experience in our life. And if you don't learn from a negative experience in your life or a mistake that you make in your life, then it's as if it never occurred, and you're going to have to relearn the lesson some other time. So always focus on, what can I learn from this? Because don't pray about getting that lesson again. You already got the lesson. Open your eyes to see what it was. How do I learn from it so that I don't have to go through that same experience over and over again until I really get it? So, again, commitment to lifelong learning. The third question he says you can ask yourself every time something happens is, what needs to change to make it happen? Fall in love with change, and you and I have talked about this numerous times on the call. Major achievers all love change. We all love to change. How can we improve? We're always looking about tweaking it, making it better. How can we make it better? How can I make it so it doesn't happen again? How can I make it so it happens more successfully the next time I do it? No matter what happens in our life, it's always about, how do we change? What do I need to change to make it happen? And every one of us have its in our life. Some of you, the it for you is getting the winning the Alaska trip. What do I need to change to win the Alaska trip? What do I need to change to get to national director? What do I need to change to get to presidential? I've been an executive for 7 years, and it's time I break through that barrier. Start examining that. Those are the questions that are empowering. They're the ones that cause you to focus and take action instead of, I don't see it ever happening. I mean, I hear people say that, and I go, well, if you don't ever see it, you're not going to, of course, if you can't visualize it, it's not going to happen for you. But you have to make changes to make things happen. So you got to get convicted about what does that change need to look like. And if you have trouble around that, then you got to talk to people in your upline or crossline, people that you respect that really feel have a really some good insight into what it takes to get to different places. I worked with some people this weekend in my pathway. They said, Mary Jo, I did this and this. Now, how do I get to presidential? And I say, okay, this is what you need to look for. Because it's not about you. If you think it's about you, you got the focus in the wrong direction. It's about the people you bring aboard. It's about bringing them to new levels. It's about getting that person underneath you to executive director status and the other one to national, the other one to, you know, getting four new people to regional. That's what getting to presidential is about. It's about growing the leaders around you. When you put all the focus on you and what you're doing and do, you're missing the boat. You might get there, but you're not going to stay there. You're going to be a classic presidential who gets to 60, and 6 months later you're at 45. You don't want to do that. You want to get to 60 and be presidential, and 6 months later you want to be at 120, and you want to have two people almost at presidential underneath you. That's what you want to have as goals. So it's about other people. It's about focus. So what needs to change to make this happen? You need to ask that question. It'll get you focused in a direction, a pathway of action and direction. The servant attitude. Let's move on. So those are three great questions. If you just isolate those three questions off of this outline and just keep asking, keep those on a postcard or a little 3x5 card that you carry around with yourself. Anytime something happens, if you can't remember them, pull it out of your wallet and look at them and say, okay, here's my question. And you can even grit your teeth because you can say, oh, that Mary Jo, I wish she never would have taught me this. It drives me crazy because I want to be so mad and I want to be angry now and I want to scream and I want to yell at somebody. But, you know, that doesn't get you anywhere. So pull out that little card and say, okay, here's my three questions. What is great about this? And then you'll even get madder at me for asking that question because you're going to really say, there's nothing great about this. I can't see how she could find anything great about that. Blah, blah, blah. And you know what? If you just use your brain and function and focus on it, you're going to find the greatness in what just happened in your life. And you're going to move forward. Okay? So use those questions. They're great. I loved all of them. I think they apply in our life, every day of our life. It's a super, super set of questions to ask. And again, because it determines focus and direction for you. The servant attitude, great an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of service, because really, what's really important for us is that we have an attitude that serves us in our life. And for most of you, like me, in order to serve me, I have to serve others, because that's truly one of my core values is contribution. In fact, my main core value is contribution. So if I'm not out there impacting lives and contributing, I'm not going to be serving myself. So having that heart and attitude of gratitude and serving other people and having impact on people's lives, just focus on that. Make sure that servant attitude is there. You know, and he gave an example in the book. It was kind of cute. It was like he asked three separate, he's walking by and he's watching these guys building this building. And they're three bricklayers working at different parts of the building. And so he asked three of them, what are you doing? Same exact question. One guy looks up and says, I'm laying bricks. What do you think, you idiot? You know. Oh, great response, huh? But sometimes that's the way we respond to people. And like, it's so obvious, why can't you see what I'm doing? The next one says, can't you see I'm laying a wall? And the third one he talked to said, I'm building a hospital where sick children can come and get healed. Now, which one of those three people would you like to work with? Do you get this picture? The focus of the third bricklayer was not on slabbing down some cement and throwing a brick on top of it and putting the next layer of cement and putting brick on. That wasn't his focus. His focus was where? It was on the contribution he's making in serving others. Wow. What a difference in life. And that's truly where our focus needs to be when we go out and do Manatech. It's not about focus on, you know, making lots of money, presidential status. Our focus needs to be on, you know what? I'm touching this life, and I'm going to make a difference in this person's life. And if I don't touch this person's life, who is going to do that? And that's why we just keep going, and we're ever ready bunnies, and we just keep going and going and going, because our focus is on outward. It's on the people around us. It's on the people we want to touch lives. That's where our focus needs to be. And when you put your focus out there, I'm going to tell you, it's going to change the direction of your business like you've never seen. But it's hard to do that sometimes. It's hard to do it when the bank balance isn't meeting and when the bread's not getting on the table, but it really truly is where we need to put our focus. So it's having a servant's attitude, and that's who you want to work with, and those are the kind of people you want to find. You want to find the people that are having that same servant's heart. The victim dictum is one of the last things he talks about in this chapter, and it really has to do with how do I stay out of victim status? Because you know what? Other people always are trying to control your attitude, and they don't even know that they're trying to control it, but you're allowing them to do it. So you walk around and you see somebody has a bad, you know, they do something to you, and right away, boom, you shift immediately, and you shift into a bad attitude. And it's incredible how fast that can happen. And sometimes it happens without us even knowing it. Like poor Lydia, she sees me around my sister sometimes, like this weekend. Well, my sister has so much depression and so much negativity around what's happening in her life. And if you compared my sister's life with my life, they're so different. It's like night and day. It's so opposite. It's so totally opposite. And sometimes when I hang with her too long and I delve into all her issues to try to support her and help her, of course what happens is my mind gets caught up in all the issues that's surrounding her, and I get up the next morning and I find myself in the doldrums, and I have to immediately go, whoa, time out. I have a tremendous amount of empathy for my sister. I love her to death. I'll do anything for her. But you know what? I'm not living her life. I can't let her life control my attitude. And we have to be very careful, because sometimes that heartfelt compassion eats at us and controls us. And you got to say, whoa, time out. I am positive. I love this world. I love this life. And what do I have to do with respect to my sister? I focus on what? I don't focus on her past. I focus on her future that we're in the process of creating. And that's what gives me so much joy, because I see the shift that's taking place in her, and I can see what's going to transpire in the next 20, 30, 40 years of her life, which is going to be a glorious shift. So we just need to focus differently. But watch out for letting other people control your attitude. And it's really your choice. Do you get this, people? You choose your attitudes. You choose them. I love the quote by Eleanor Roosevelt. I gave it in the outline. No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. Isn't that an incredible statement? So deep. So those of you people thinking I'm not enough or you're choosing that. You're consenting to that feeling. You're consenting to that attitude. So choose differently. Choose positive. Don't give your control up to circumstances, people, events in your life. Don't give that away. It's too powerful. You're giving away your life. You're giving away the mastery of your life when you give circumstances and people control over your emotional status, over your attitudes, over your belief system. So it's important for us to just, you know, maintain what we have, which is making our own free choices around how we feel, what our attitudes are, how positive we are, the greatness in what's around us and everything that we get exposed to. One of the major things that creates, and we go victim, and that's what happens, we go victim. My sister even fell into that so many times. It was so much fun all weekend. Every time she said, well, you know, he did this, and I go, Abby, don't go victim. I'm right away, put that V on her forehead. Oop, don't go victim. Were you a participant in the event? Don't go victim. Do not go victim to other people and other events in your life. Stay out of victim status. The minute you say things like, you know, I had to go do. Victim language is exactly that. I had to go pick up the kids. Do you get the difference between saying I had to go pick up the kids after school and I choose to go pick up my children after school? Because it truly is a choice. You don't have to do anything in life. You make choices. You chose to have children. You chose to go pick them up after school. You make choices. So use choice language. Don't use I have to language, because then you stay in victim mode. And victim mode is negative mode. It'll depress you. It'll bring you down. You will never move forward in life. It is totally disempowering. So get rid of it out of your life. Don't go victim to your spouse. Don't go victim to your kids. And you go, oh, Mary Jo, my spouse beats me. He's an alcoholic. So what? That doesn't give you a right to go victim to him, because then you're saying, oh, good, I'm going to let him destroy my life because I choose to. If you want to choose to let somebody else destroy your life, you can make that choice. But do not point the finger at somebody else. Point the finger at yourself. You're making the choice to go victim. And one of the major things that we go victim to in this world is what? It's not a spouse. It's not a child. It's not our environment. It's not our circumstances. You know what it is? It's our past. We go victim to our past. It's probably the number one thing that holds people back out there is going victim to past. So we look at what happened in our past. We look at our history. We look at our how we were raised. We look at the abuse in our past. We look at our divorce, or we look at our, you know, car accident, or we look at something that happened that causes us to go victim. I've seen miraculous people that create incredible things. And every day of my life I get exposed to them, and I feel so blessed to be in their presence. One of my favorite people in my downline who I've worked with for years is a woman named Lori Watley. At 18 years old, she jumped in a swimming pool and she became a quadriplegic. She's in a wheelchair. But you know what she did? She overcame all that. She runs a health food store in Wichita Falls, Texas today, and she is a quadriplegic, and she's helping people heal themselves every day of her life, and she's been doing it for 20 years. And she has just this joy in her life and this pleasantness about her that she does not go victim to anything in her life. It's not about victim. Could she go victim to that? Absolutely. I shared that story with my sister this weekend, and my sister said, well, yeah, that's easier when you're younger. And I go, oh, Abby, now you're going victim to age. You're in your 50s, and all of a sudden you can't. I'm like, oh, my gosh, let's choose to go victim to age. Okay, can you go victim to age? Sure. You can choose to go victim to anything. But age doesn't say anything. My sister thinks she's old. I think I'm 20 years old. I think I got 100 years ahead of me to create things in my life. And my sister thinks she's old. And I go, so you go victim to it. It's how you look at it. Take an attitude. Change your life. Look at it differently. You got 25, 35 years left to impact tons of people. And what are you doing? You're getting old. Oh, okay. Your choice. Don't go victim to it. Don't go victim to past. And how do you get out of your past and your victimhood? A lot of people choose to go victim to it because they have to be right. Well, somebody abused me. Somebody hurt me. Somebody did this. And I'm right and they were wrong. Great. I don't disagree. Maybe you are right. But is it more important for you to be right or for you to move forward in life and achieve success in your life? Because there's one thing I know about your past is you can never change it. You can never change your past. It's already happened. It's bygones are bygones. But you can reinvent it. You can look at it differently, and you can start saying, redefining it. Just like, what is the greatness in this? No matter what that past reflects, you can always find greatness in it. And it's time to reinvent your past so it supports you in moving forward, not freezes you and isolates you into not ever having a future or the future that you deserve to have. So it's time to get into forgiveness. It's time to go look at the past in a different light, and it's time to put it behind you and move forward. Because everything happens in your life for purposes. And it creates the kind of person and who you are today to be the best you can be. So utilize it to be the best you can be. And then I gave you a last quote at the end. It says, live each day as if it were your last with passion and with excellence. Yesterday is over and tomorrow may never happen. Today is all we have, which is a great, great quote. Okay, I'm back on. Okay, any questions, any issues you guys want to talk about in our last minute? Hello? Anyone want to share about what they learned today? Does this make sense? I can hear you giving a telephone number. And I can hear you cutting trees. Good grief, I was right. Thank goodness we can mute everybody out when I train. Uh-huh. Could I get people to star 6 so I can hear the question? Thank you. Good grief, people are so rude. We got